my worship and my praise should be the evidence of my freedom. I'll say that again. My worship and my praise should be the evidence of my freedom. I have been loosed. I've been set free. Pardon me a moment while I have a jubilee, while I display a little bit of the freedom that I have in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing and worshiping. You may be seated. Do want to very quickly make you aware of some things by way of announcement. Next Sunday night is a special night. It is a faith and family night. There is a sign-up sheet at the back, and we need for each family to look over that and see if there's something you can bring. The church will be providing the main course, which is basically going to be like sub-sandwiches. And so it's going to be outside, going to be outdoors. You're going to have some games, some activities. Going to eat outdoors. Now, this is all weather permitting, okay? Because the forecast at this point says it's possible rain, but we know how the weather can change in just a few hours here. So at this point, we're still going forward and have every intention of making that happen this coming Sunday night. Do want to remind you, we have pushed the time ahead just a little bit. Well, I guess that would be back, not ahead, because instead of at 6:30, we're going to do it at 7. So it's going to be a little bit later that we're going to start, but it is going to be there at our residence. So if you know somebody who might be coming or might even be visiting next Sunday night for whatever reason, make sure you tell them that we will not be having service here. We are having a faith and family night at Pastor's Residence next Sunday. Other things are on the newsletter to make you aware of what's happening, what's going on. I want to say a big thank you to those who went to the rally on Friday night. Had a wonderful time there, a great representation showing from this church. So thank you so much for going and being a part of that. And now I want you to stand. If you have your Bibles, get them ready. And you're going to turn to whatever Brother Tom Kreger wants you to turn to, because he's preaching tonight. Why don't you put your hands together and make him welcome.
Hallelujah. Trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit tonight, and I just want to, before I go any further in this message tonight, if anybody needs prayer, I think we need to, before we even get to the next phase of the preaching of the Word, I think we need to open a time of prayer. I felt there was a spirit that was trying to attack the service tonight about an hour before I got here, and you know what? I'm getting tired when the enemy tries to attack our church, when the enemy tries to attack our service, he's trying to mess things up, he's trying to trip us up, you know. I'm just at the point where I'm getting a little upset about it, and I want to call out that spirit right now, that spirit of fear. You have to leave this place. You're not welcome here. You have to go in Jesus' name. If anybody has a need tonight, I want to open this time for you to come forward. I know that this was not planned. This is not anything that we talked about. But if you have a need tonight, whether it's a need, you just need something off your chest right now before we get any further in this service, I'd like you to welcome you to come forward, and we will pray for you. We will anoint you with oil in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord, in Jesus' name. We come before your throne, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. We're here to seek your face in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Your will and your way in this church, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy to be praised, God. Hallelujah. This is your church. We are your people called by your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. And are seeking your face right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down. falling down. Healing rain is falling down. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Healing rain.
We're not going to rush this service tonight. This is the Lord's service. He's going to have His way and His will here tonight.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Healing rain is falling down. Healing rain is falling down. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven.
can't help but think this morning when we were worshiping, as the service began, and even tonight, when you start to praise and worship God the way that you do, and in the heart the way that you do, He can't help but respond the way that He does. This is a response of your response to Him. You're praising His name, you're calling out His name, the name that is above every name. You just say the name of Jesus, and He just shows up. He can't help it, He has to show up. Do something that I've never done before. I'm going to start at the bottom of my notes. I'm going to say something I was going to close with tonight. Then I'm going to go backwards. Amos 8 and 11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or of thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." In the Old Testament, they didn't have the 66 books that we have. They would go to a priest, to a temple, and give an offering. And then those priests would, God would speak through those priests, those prophets, the seers back then. They would say, ask questions like, should I go? Should I wait? What should I do? When I feel like I'm getting backed in a corner, do I come out swinging? Or do I hear the voice of God say, be still and know that I'm God right now? We have a pastor that brings the word of God. We have a church with the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of faith, word of wisdom, words of knowledge, tongues, interpretation of tongues, specific words and promises that are spoken into your life. That you've received in your spirit. And you know that word was for you. Don't let go of it. In Exodus 4, 10 through 11, it says, "But Moses pleaded with the Lord, O Lord, I am not very good with words, neither I never have been, and I am not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled." The Lord says to Moses, this is the Lord's response, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord?" Moses was looking at his imperfections, his faults. God was looking at a man with zeal, that zeal that he had 40 years before that rose up inside him when he saw one of his own being tormented, being tortured by the Egyptians. He goes, I never forgot what you did there. You had a zeal in you that rose up and it just consumed you. I'm not concerned about your abilities because you know what? I'm not going to do, it's not your ability, it's what I want to do through you. 2 Samuel 23:2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me, His words are upon my tongue." Those are one of the very last words that David spoke before he died. I believe that when you give the Lord all that you have, when you have done all your best, this is all I have, Lord. This is yours. I'm going to give it to you. He fed thousands when a boy was willing to give up what he had. For everyone in ministry tonight, or if you're aspiring to be in ministry, no matter how great, no matter how small your ministry may be, if you are available, he is able. I felt led for days to share that with you, and that has nothing to, that's totally separate from the message that I'm going to give tonight. I'm going to give some scripture, if that's okay. I'm going to give you, let's go to 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 through 10. This is my text tonight. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachamite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adonai, the Enzite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defiled the Philistines that were gathered there together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he rose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave into his sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. The title of my message tonight is, He Clave to His Sword. We can just pray one more time before we be seated. Lord, have your will and your way in Jesus' name, Lord. Anoint this, Lord. I feel, Lord, that you have done some things here tonight, Lord. This is just the beginning, Lord. You're going to continue to do it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the move and the flow of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We don't want nothing to obstruct or to hinder the flow of the move of your Spirit for what you would want to do in every one of us, Lord, in our hearts and minds, in Jesus' name, Lord. We'll bind what needs to be bound and loose, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We bind the enemies of darkness in Jesus' name, Lord. We loose your presence, Lord, in a mighty way, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I just want to be an instrument, Lord, for you to work through tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Jashobeam was one of the 800 who took out Jashobeam was one who took out 800 enemy warriors. I would say that he qualified for a conqueror, wouldn't you? God says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In verse 10, it says in another translation, he killed Philistines until his hand was too tired and it was stuck to his sword. And the Lord gave him a victory that day, and the rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the spoil and the plunder. You know, it took one person. It took a very small amount of people to just stand their ground, to have a grip. And a lot of people benefited from that day. His hand and his sword, they said, was besmeared. It was covered with blood. His sword was covered with blood. His hand was covered with blood. His hand became cramped because his body became cramped. He was dehydrated. And I was researching this. When you're dehydrated, when they were in battle, the only way to kind of loosen up those muscles was like stick it in some hot water, pour some hot water over their hands so they can release and let that ease the tension in those muscles in your hand. The one who held his grip and the one who held his ground was the one who was standing and fighting with the king. I believe it's time that God is calling us to get a grip, upon our sword. I don't know if anybody has your Bibles. If you have apps on your iPads, if you could just grab your Bible and just get a grip on it tonight, because that's what we're going to be talking about. If you feel like you have been losing your grip, if you lost your grip, he intends for you to walk out of here tonight with a grip upon the Word of God. Eleazar was from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin, as we all know, was Joseph's younger brother. These are the same men that when David was thirsty, they went down and they broke through the enemy lines and the Philistines, and they went and got him some water. They didn't care who was there, how many were there. They went through and they broke through and they got water, and they brought it back to David. And I got thinking about this, and when I was reading scripture in the past, and I started reading through the Old Testament, I was just enamored about David and his mindset and how he thought. And he was a man of God, and he was a man of integrity, and integrity was very valuable to him. And when these men risked their lives, and it was a sacrifice for them to go get the water. And when they brought the water back, he said, "When you sacrificed what you did to me, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to pour that water out as an offering." That may not make any sense, but it was the respect that he had for the men that did what they did. He goes, I honor these men and what they did. They risked a lot for me at the moment for their king. I needed some water, and they got me some. I want to go. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I'm not going to try to polish this up. I just want to be led by God tonight. Sometimes we need to realize, and we forget this, and when we rub shoulders, like Brother Wells was saying this morning, we rub shoulders with the world. And if we are not a part of the world, we're God's chosen, and he is for us. And I'm going to cleave to this word. I'm going to cleave to the sword. I'm not going to worry about what the enemy tries to do when he tries to torment me, to remind me of my past, remind me of my faults, and remind me of my failures, my mistakes. For the Lord thy God will hold thee with thy right hand, saying unto thee, "Fear not, I will help thee." For the Lord hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in trouble. I need to get a grip, and I need to hold on to the word of God when I feel like the enemy is starting to attack my soul, is starting to attack some things that he wants to move forward in his kingdom. My God promised that was all behind me, and I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I remember that day that I received the Holy Ghost, and Brother Wells was telling, you go find a place where you received the Holy Ghost, or when your life was changed, and my life was changed. I'll never forget it. I was standing about right here, and I remember Alex, he was sitting right here. When he got the Holy Ghost, I'll never forget that, because I was staring at him right there, and somebody laid hands on him, and he started to speak in tongues for the very first time, and I wanted to nudge Alex to come over here and stand right here, because me and you both got it right here. But our past is gone. We don't need to be reminded about our past. I don't know about you, but anybody who's been buried in baptism, he makes all things new. I remember going home when I came, when I went back home, I would look in the mirror, and I'm like, I don't know, I never saw that person before, because I am a new creature. His goodness and his mercy follow me. Not my past. I have a hope and a future to look forward to now. I don't care who has their mind made up, whether or not they want to come here or go somewhere else. I'm going to get a grip, and I'm going to hold on to this doctrine. I'm going to hold on to this truth. I'm going to hold on to the Word of God with everything that I have. Because I know at the end, if I keep my grip and I hold on with everything that I have, people are going to be coming out from the hills, and all they're going to see is spoil and plunder. And they're going to partake in it. You know what? That's fine. Let them. But God's looking for a few people to just get a grip and hold on to the Word of God and the promises of God. I want to read a couple quotes. When I felt like God was dealing me with this particular subject, Sunday night after service a couple weeks ago, Sister Tenny had these quotes, these NAYC rumors. Does anybody have those pop up on their phone? It's a building kind of towards Youth Congress this fall. Excuse me. And she had this quote, and many other people have these quotes, but this one here. She says, "Did you know that there are over 3,000 promises in the Word of God? Did you know that there is nothing that you can face in life that you cannot find a reference to know how to handle it within the Word of God? That is why it's so important to know the Word of God. Don't just depend upon your pastor to preach and tell you everything. You need to know the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God, and you need to read the Word of God." And another quote, D.L. Moody said a long time ago, and these are the old-time preachers that preach it straight, and I'm thankful that I go to a church where it's preached straight to me. This is, Moody says, "Take the promises of God. Let a man feed for a month on the promises of God, and he won't talk about how poor he is. You hear people say, 'Oh, my leanness, how lean I am.' It's not their leanness, it's their laziness." That's a rebuke right there. "If you would only read from Genesis to Revelation and see all the promises made by God to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob, to the Jews and to the Gentiles, and to all the people everywhere, if you wouldn't be going about complaining about how poor you are, you would lift up your head and proclaim the riches of his grace, because you couldn't help but doing that." Over 3,000 promises. I could not stand here tonight and share them all with you because the sun would go down. And you know what? You're just going to have to get the book, read the book, get a grip, hold on to it, read it for yourself. One of the promises of God is in Acts 2:39, and we all know Acts 2:38, and our children are raised with that verse memorized, but that's not the verse that I had on a post-it note in my truck as I was seeking the Holy Ghost, and I wanted the Holy Ghost, and it was Acts 2:39 is the one that I kept in my truck. It says, "The promises unto me and to my children." That's the promise that I held on to, and that's the verse that stuck that I put in the front of my mind every time. And I looked at it, and I remember when my girls started asking questions about the Holy Ghost, and I'm thankful for the Sunday school teachers that we have in this church, and they started asking questions, and they're like, I'd like to have the Holy Ghost, and Dad, do you have it? I'm like, yeah, I have it, and as a matter of fact, God says the promise is for me and my children, and I got it, and you are my children, and it's for you too. But I need to say this to every Sunday school teacher in here tonight. And I felt the Holy Ghost when I started going over my notes before service, that every unchurched child that walks into your classroom, that is your those are your children. That promise is unto your children, your Sunday school children. They're not your biological children, but they are your spiritual children. I'm going to go on the promises that he is my shield, and he is my glory, and he's a lifter up of my head. He is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. He restores me. There was just a couple of verses right there that, you know what, that's enough for me to go for days upon. That's all I need. I want to hold on to... I'm getting towards the end right now because I skipped. I don't want to let go of the spoken word of God. I don't want to ever let go of that. I don't want to let go of his promises. I don't want to let go of everything that he has in his word for me. I need it. It's there. He supplied it. It's up to me to search for it. And I remember this a long time ago. This was many years ago, and I was reminded again last night when Faith fell asleep. She started talking in her sleep, and I remember Brian told me when he was growing up that whenever his sisters had a bad dream or they started talking in her sleep, their parents would put the Bible underneath their pillow, and those bad dreams would go away. And I started doing that. You know what? It worked. I picked her up out of my bed. She fell asleep in my bed last night. And before I I pulled the sheets back and I grabbed the Bible that was in the desk and I put it underneath her pillow. I never heard it. She slept good last night. The Word of God is used for so many things. I want to end this night tonight with something that I want to hear your testimonies from at least two or three people. You have your sword in your hand, and you've had a word that you've held onto for many, many years, or you've held onto this word, particular word, because it sustained you and it got you through a really hard time. And I just like to ask for two or three people if they would give up and give a testimony about how, when they held onto this word with everything that they had, and God brought them through a particular situation. You know what? I need to hear this from you. We need to hear this from each other. This is how we exhort each other. This is how we get through. Is there anybody else that would like to stand and give a testimony, just a brief testimony, Brother Kellum?
Right.
I'm going to give somebody an opportunity to say something after this. I was reminded by this as the testimonies were given and this verse that I read, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." It's in 2 Timothy 1 and 7. A couple months ago, we were in Yorkville, and at Brother Dixon's church, we had a little youth outing, and we got together, and we got to have some fellowship with the youth there. And afterwards, we took the kids bowling around 9 o'clock, and we pulled up in Yorkville bowling alley. And I enjoyed the fellowship that we had bowling when we went as a church family. But you know what? On a Friday night, the atmosphere was quite different about that time of night, and I didn't know what to expect. And we were pulling out of the parking spot, and that big van that we have, I couldn't see very well, and I didn't. There was a guy behind me, and I didn't know if he gave me enough room to pull out all the way. And all of a sudden, there's this guy that comes out of his truck. He's highly intoxicated, and he gets out. He's like foaming at the mouth, and he sticks his nose right up to my nose, and he just starts swearing. I got all these kids in the van. And it was this verse that God gave me. He didn't give me a spirit of fear right there because I didn't flinch. I wasn't intimidated. I just was right there with face to face with him. God gave me sound mind, and his power and his presence was right there. And after a while, he backed off, and then his demeanor totally changed. But that word right there comes right to my mind. Does anybody else have a testimony they'd like to share? Go ahead, Matt. I just want to say one more thing before I turn the service back over to Brother Wells, that I just want to keep plugging the Sunday school department right now. That I remember before I even got into church, when Allison was little, she would bring these little cutouts and these little coloring things, papers, home. And one was, I think, something that you would put and you could cut out and look like a light switch cover. And it said, "He will never leave me or forsake me." And I remember the effect that it had on my wife at the time. That was something that she needed right then, was that word of God. And I saw the tears in her eyes. I'm like, wow, that word is powerful. She needed to know that, "Lord, you'll never leave me and you'll never forsake me." I'm thankful for the word of God. I want to hold on to it with everything that I have. Hold on to this truth. I believe that we are a church that's going to hold on. We're going to endure to the end. And we're going to get through this together. And there's going to be a great victory. There's going to be spoil. I'm excited about that part. If we could all stand, I'm going to turn this back over to Brother Wells.
A verse of scripture found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It's a very familiar passage of scripture to many. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths." I have a question. How do you acknowledge him if you don't know how he thinks about something? How do I acknowledge him unless I know what he says? How do I trust in him? It's not something I just trust in God. Well, how do you trust in God? How do you acknowledge him? I'll tell you how. Through his word. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let me just be very plain and candid, as I often am. A lot of the things we deal with and the choices that we come against, the answer's there. How does God then direct my path? Does God speak to you in an audible voice on a regular basis? If he does, God bless you. He doesn't to me. I tell you how he directs my path. He directs my path as I hear his voice speak to my heart and I line it up with the word of God. It's the roadmap. That's why it is so important. That's why if I'm really going to be able to fight this good fight of faith, I better learn how to wield a sword. That's why reading the Bible is important. That's why hiding the word of God in my heart is important. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Because the word directs me. The word gives me the paths I need to take. The word is how I acknowledge him and understand this is what he wants and this is how I handle the situation. In all thy ways acknowledge. How am I going to acknowledge him? I'll tell you how I acknowledge him. By knowing what the word of God says. And when I know what the word of God says, I can acknowledge this is what Jesus would do. This is how the Lord says you handle this situation. This is how the word of God dealt with that situation. And that's how I have the confidence and the faith and the assurance that I'm making the right decision. We spent more time in the word, if we spent more time cleaving unto the sword, if we spent more time with our nose in the book. As one man said it, less time on Facebook and more time with your face in the book. It'll help. It'll direct my paths. It'll keep me doing what's right. It'll keep me walking in the way of righteousness. Order my steps. How? In your word, dear Lord. Lead me, God. How? In your word. Because as I read and as I take that in and as I spend the time and the discipline reading the Word of God, it helps me be better and better and better and better. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, I pray that there would, God, among this people, Lord, that we will be baptized with a fresh love for your word, God. It is your love letter written to all of humanity, God. Lord, it addresses situations and circumstances. It gives promises, God. It directs our paths, Lord. And we would learn to trust in you and acknowledge you in all of our ways. And the only way that is even possible is if we understand and know what you have to say about it and how you lead and how you move and how you would direct us to go. Order our steps in your word, God, that we would see, that we would understand, that it would help us. It would lead us and guide us. Give us that which we have need of to follow after you. In your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name. For a few moments, why don't you lift your hands and lift your voice? Why don't you thank God for his word? Thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you that you give us that which we need, God, to understand the way in which we should go. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To trust in you, that your word is true, that your word is right, that your word gives me direction, God, that we would desire to eat, God, and feast upon your word, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. One parting shot. I dare say if we would get back to some of the basics, and reading our Bible and praying and doing the little things, it'd make a big difference. It'd help us. It'd lead us. It'd guide us. All for the days when one of the textbooks at school was the Bible. Oh, we don't want them bringing them to school and reading them, but we'll give them to them in prison. I think that's backwards. Maybe if we started giving it to them while they were kids and letting them learn about it and directing them. I better stop or I'm going to get to preaching. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your wonderful word, God. How glorious they are, God, to lead and guide us and direct us. Go with us from this place this evening. Let there be a fresh love for your word, a desire, God, to spend time in your presence, spend time reading the words of eternal life, God, that help us and lead us and testify of you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. You may go in Jesus' name.